Welcome, art enthusiasts and culture seekers, to Arts Missoula's Missoula Mosaic. Heather Adams and Nathan Hokish host in this podcast as we journey through the vibrant tapestry of local art and culture that shapes the soul of Missoula, Montana.
From painters and sculptors to musicians and performance artists, Missoula is a haven for those who thrive on self-expression. Join us as we delve into the narratives behind the art and culture makers that contribute to the unique identity of this cultural oasis.
We'll take you behind the scenes of art studios, music venues, and other creative spaces, uncovering the identities that contribute to why we love Missoula. Hi, Rosie Ayers.
Hello, Heather Adams.
I have Rosie Ayers, who is a theater extraordinaris, producer, director, actress, maker, funny, prop finder, teacher, spark artist, now dancer.
Oh, that's real loose.
Actor who moves.
I'm going to say, yeah.
Comedian who wiggles.
Yep, I'm just going to say comedic movement.
Comedic movement.
In non-comedic pieces.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah. You're part of why Missoula is pretty awesome.
I feel the same way about you.
Well, thank you. What do you do in town? I mean, where do you work specifically right now?
Great. That's a wonderful question. I'm always trying to figure out exactly how many jobs I have. But I'm a theater director and teaching artist. That's usually the tagline that I use, which means that although I create a lot of things, the main two things that I focus on a regular basis are educating through theater, especially integrated arts, both in our public schools and at Sussex School, and then regionally whenever I have the chance, as well as directing theater, which happens regionally as well. And on top of that, I get to do a hybrid of millions of other things. So I, for example, today, I taught at Paxson School, at Sussex School. I probably taught, I'm going to guess, just under 100 children. And I was also at the fairgrounds setting up for a performance tonight for United Way of Missoula County. We're doing Laugh United with my comedy partner, Teresa Waldorf, of course, and Selena Chatlin and Bridget Smith and Anna Stone and Anne Marie Williams. So we've got a little powerhouse of ladies that are trying to do some good and bring about some of that, as well as communicating with the ZAC about a collaborative performance that we're planning in a couple of months. And that was just all before.
That's what you did today.
So, but no need to worry. I had a green smoothie, lots of chocolate.
Okay, you're taking care of yourself. Good,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And this is part of why we're doing this podcast. I mean, what it takes to be an artist in Missoula.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, you know, everyone that's not in our world directly quite understands how active, engaged, interconnected, interwoven into Missoula, and literally that you can be physically in 9 million places in one singular day. How did you get to Missoula, and why did you stay?
Ooh, gosh. Well, some of those reasons really came from being a delinquent youth who wasn't really going to let's just say I didn't leave the state of Montana right off the bat when I eventually graduated high school, because I had some things to tidy up. And so the state of Montana had asked me to stick around for a little bit. They liked keeping an eye on me. And and so while I was waiting for that big moment to move out of state and go away to a big college to do theater, I continued on with my welding at the time.
Oh my God.
And
I did not know that about acting. Yeah.
And I came over here to finish welding school that I had started at the Tech in Helena. And really also to, you know, get out of town. I'd created a few fun messes that I was like, meh, I don't have to see these boys anymore. and I ended up, I just absolutely adored Missoula right off the bat. And I started welding here. I moved into the sculpture and photography school within a year of being here. I was working with children at the CDC, the Child Development Center. I was working at Teresa Waldorf Summer Theater Camp. I was waitressing at the Old Town Cafe. And yeah, back in the day, right?
Okay, where was Old Town Cafe?
Old Town Cafe was downtown. Now it is James Bar, right? Yeah, that's where it is now. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Right? And we all wore the shirts with the ducks on them. And,
oh my gosh.
And now Rom, who used to own that, owns an art gallery actually downtown.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Kendall Jan Jobs.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the one. So who knew?
Yeah.
Little arts are always poking in, aren't they?
Okay, so this is really interesting, too, because there's a dancer in town who wants to be a welder.
Oh, wow.
Do you know this?
Oh, is she going to do Flashdance the Musical?
I don't
always wanted to do Flashdance the Musical.
Don't say these things out loud because you know someone out there might be listening and say, I have an idea for the next art project.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you get me to direct, right, and weld? But I no longer will perform those particular acts in that. I'm less of a dancer. Let's just say. And they're paying me to put it back on.
Got it.
But yes, so I was I had transferred from the Vo-Tech into the regular college, and I was doing photography and welding, and I kept putting myself into every sculpture.
Yep.
And finally, my sculpture teacher was like, this isn't just performance art. Maybe you should walk back across the green there and head to theater. So I was already involved in some improv troupes and in a little directing gig there, and just dove right back in and decided to not move. And I fell in love with a carpenter here, and he had
he's
fabulous
a nice
human.
Guy.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I'm still attached to that guy.
He's such a
nice guy. It's a long time,
guy.
Right? And he had a little kid, and we set up like housekeeping and got married and had babies. And and he always says that we're only afforded one artist per household.
Oh.
It's a much more sane way to live. Yeah, so he's just a secret rock star, but he allows me to be the artist in the house. And yeah, he's got a brilliant and amazing business, and I'm not even going to give it out because he's too busy. So I have people calling me all the time being like, please, can you send your husband over? He is a genius.
I've done that, actually.
Yes.
I've done that.
Well, you get
I texted.
Can you come up? Precisely, yeah. So that's how I stuck around here.
Yeah.
And yeah, and falling in love with the Missoula community, I realized that this was the best place to be, not only in the state, but in my opinion, pretty much the world. Every time I travel, I'm just so happy to come back to Missoula. And I think our community spirit really is our superpower. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to work as much as I can because I do what I love in order to be able to stay here. Is it always easy? Hell no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the mojo? Like what is it? Do you feel it when you put your feet on the ground at the airport, or you know what I mean? Like so it is special.
Yeah.
We all say that it's special.
Yeah.
But what's tangible? Why is it special when you're driving down? I don't know, like, you know, we just went over the Higgins Bridge at night the other night, and the lights, you know, just the Christmas lights and seeing the water and the bridge lit up and the Christmas lights, and people were walking with their dogs, and that's beautiful. That that feels tangible to me.
Yeah.
That's an image that sticks in my mind. But what is it to you?
I think beyond the landscape and the actual physical little dusty valley that we live in with our cold gray skies, right? It really is about the warmth that circulates in this valley of connectedness. I mean, I think that when we look at those lights, when we look at all that stuff downtown, not only are we seeing ourselves reflected in it, but we're seeing what our friends are creating, what they've worked hard to stay here to do. We are seeing, you know, that little sparkle in the kids in our community's eyes. We see the fact that when you walk down the street, you make eye contact with everybody, unlike New York, because if you do that, they think you were a prostitute. P.S. I tried that when I was 18, and they were like, whoa, stop propositioning me. It was only because I expected every eyeball I looked at to be somebody that I might know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if I don't know you, I know your cousin. Yep. I know your mom. I know your kid. I mm-hmm. know your friend. I know your coworker. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we have a friendliness that is mm-hmm. and a politeness and a civility, mm-hmm. a care for each other that is palpable, mm-hmm. right? We can feel it. Mm-hmm. That is what is tangible, yeah. is the care for each other. That yeah. doesn't mean that we don't squabble and housewife with each other, mm-hmm. right? Absolutely. We could pull up Missoula Housewives and be quite dramatic around here, right? But the truth is we have a palpable care for each other mm-hmm. that exists in a very intense microcosm here mm-hmm. that we feel throughout the entire state. Mm-hmm. And when you go to another state and someone says, oh, I know somebody from Montana, we don't say, oh, that's nice. We say, who?
Yeah, who is it?
Every single time.
Oh, get
we
out.
Say, oh,
I just had lunch
who
with
is
them.
It, right? Yeah, because it's going to be one yeah. or 2 degrees of separation. We're much closer than Kevin Bacon is. Right? Yeah.
How is he not here?
Oh, how? Kevin, if you'd like Kevin. To come, I'm just going to tell you
Kevin,
right now.
Mr. Bacon.
There is 7 degrees
calling
between
Mr.
me
Bacon
and
Kevin Bacon to the stage.
Kevin Bacon. But between me and everybody else, I'm pretty sure there's only 2 degrees.
Yeah. Right?
2 degrees of separation.
Absolutely.
That's what makes me
yeah. locally famous.
Yes.
I'm still waiting on my t-shirt.
Okay. Note to self, we need t-shirts, Kevin. I feel like this is a fact. We're always having to justify why art and culture matters mm-hmm. and why it's not a frivolity. Mm-hmm. This is a age as old as time, right? I mean, it just yeah. goes on, right?
Yes.
And we're always, every time there's a budget constraint, every time there's something that we, you know, we have to pinch our pennies a little bit, you know, the arts come into question. Not and I don't believe it's because people don't think it's important. I know they do.
Yeah.
And I know that we all value the arts here. I know that we all value culture and, you know, what diversity and inclusivity bring to our lives and
yeah.
equity. It's part of why Missoula is so incredible. Mm-hmm. And yet we still have the conversations in our community about keeping it alive. I don't know. Is there a question in there? I mean, how
that's what I was at.
Yeah. So
for the question.
Statement. Yes.
Yeah.
How do you, in conversations in all of these different groups of people that you're working with, how do you find you're justifying what you do? Why do you think it matters?
Yeah.
How
well,
do we protect it?
I often call theater the vehicle of empathy, mm-hmm. But I would venture to say that that is all arts in general. I think mm-hmm. that what I do specifically, what we do in theater is about collaboration. It's specifically about storytelling mm-hmm. in a way that we aren't just asking you to be entertained or to forget what's going on in your life. Those things are very important. Mm-hmm. But what we're actually asking you to do is to identify in yourself what you have experienced, what you need, and how does that translate to the people around you, right? And in this vehicle of empathy that the arts creates, that connectedness is what improves our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It improves our physical health. I mean, mm-hmm. we have study after study from Harvard and
yeah.
Yale and Brown and Duke University.
Folks.
All
yep.
of them. They've all done these studies for mm-hmm. us already. So I could repeat all of these studies, the Kennedy Center and all the facts that they have about this, right? But we just know it on a gut level, right? That if we
yeah.
don't get a chance to listen to music, to watch a beautiful film, to be a part of some arts event, to dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we are not well. And our community is not well. Every
mm-hmm.
good, thriving community that we can look at in the entire history of the world, and I've taken enough history classes
mm-hmm.
to know,
yep.
right? That communities are at their most healthy when they have the arts. And when they are not, the arts bloom out of them.
Yeah.
Even as resistance, right? As pure rebellion
mm-hmm.
against darkness and unhappiness,
mm-hmm.
we bloom art at it
mm-hmm.
In order to heal communities. It is one of those things that brings us together. And I hate that saying, this day and age, right? But
yeah.
Now more than ever,
yeah.
I don't believe that, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
actually it's like a cycle that happens all the time. This
Absolutely.
Has happened before, it will happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But at each crossroads, when we have had division that starts to really harm our environment, and our children, and our individual societies, and our elder population,
mm-hmm.
art, when it brings us back together, it truly does heal in a way that increases our financial stability,
mm-hmm.
our physical health,
mm-hmm.
and our future for our kids.
Yeah.
And I've been working in suicide prevention for years now. And I, during the pandemic, I got to really take, put theater in the back seat because the world could not gather in that way, and mm-hmm. we could not create the way that we used to. And we were busy doing that as much as we could. But the truth is that my second passion of mental health and caring for our community at large got to come to fruition in being the coordinator for Project Tomorrow Montana through United Way of Missoula County, which I'm very happy to have passed on to someone else these days. Julie Hilly's pretty great, and Jackie Briggs. But I got to study suicidal ideations and mm-hmm. suicide completion, and the fact that our community has been higher in that than we would like to.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I've gone back to teaching children is because that is where the solution is,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not that we don't have solutions that reach our elder population or our middle-aged white man, right? Or reach across divides in the reservation. But our real solutions are with our next generation, and how do we give them all the protective factors that they need?
Mm-hmm.
How do we teach them to have care for each other and a responsibility and an identity that is unshakable, so that they can go out and create connections? Because that really is the solution. It's the opposite of isolation,
right?
And a feeling of uselessness or a loss of purpose is connection to each other,
mm-hmm.
and a real purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we only find it in community. It's mm-hmm. almost impossible to find all by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I love theater. Wait, I don't remember what the question was. Shit.
I think you answered it.
I think you answered it. And that is why, this is why you're amazing. And because you can articulate this, and you bring this to every single thing that you do. You know, and I think about, you know, the ways we connect and dancing together, creating art together, being in the theater spaces together, improvisation, laughing, playing, you know, that's what you remember for your entire lives. Not
that's
just,
true.
You know, we went to dinner and we built a community around that. No, not necessarily. Not to say I don't like eating.
Boy, do I ever love eating. But isn't eating better when it's followed by dancing?
By
right?
Dancing,
that's why we do that at weddings.
Music,
that's why we do
right?
that at big
yes.
community gatherings.
I have a
Absolutely,
question.
Yeah.
Hi, Nathan, by the way.
Hi.
I don't know that anybody introduced
yeah,
you.
I know.
We've just been letting you.
Oh, we did in the beginning.
Yes,
okay,
this is Nathan
Kogel.
Hi.
Yes, my partner.
I have a question. So when did you start teaching? Because you said that you did that later in life.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, or how many
Great
years have you been teaching?
Question. I've actually been teaching since I can remember. Like, one of my first jobs was, like, you know, teaching summer camps. Both my parents are public educators.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing I vowed is I'm never going to be a teacher, right?
Yeah.
And we had all those little ideas of, like, those who can't do teach, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is complete BS, right?
Right.
And what I found is that no matter what phase of life I was in, I was always doing a little bit of teaching, a workshop
mm-hmm.
here or there, after school classes, teaching a course at, you know, a graduate course at the university, or a theater for non-majors, which is a really fun and weird class to teach, teaching executives how to do leadership exercises with improv, or honor students how to do improv exercises for their interviewing process. I mean, it's just
wow.
like a wild amount of things that people have asked me to do.
You've
over
the
last,
spectrum.
I'm going to say it's been like 25 to 27 years
yeah.
that I have had, I don't think I've gone a year without teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I just had like one of the saddest summers of my life where I went a whole summer without camping.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never gone a year without theater or teaching.
Right.
Those are two things that every time I get away from them for a few months, even 6 months,
yeah.
I start to feel really disconnected from who I am and my whole community.
Yeah.
It was really just because I got really busy last summer and I hurt my shoulder. Well, that's a lame old story. Just turns out I'm old.
But I think it's just so great that you talk about how the children are the solution, because it's so true. Like, you don't hear that a lot. I taught for 9 years. I taught first grade mostly.
Yeah.
So it was a different, you know, I haven't been able to teach like theater or dance or adults even. But I needed to take a break from it. But it's nice to hear people talk about having that mentality around teaching, because a lot of teachers don't. A lot of the public schools don't have that.
Yeah. Is this where we get to sing Whitney Houston's the children are our future? Yeah. No?
We are the world.
Exactly. That is accurate. And so when I went back to graduate school in integrated arts and education, I found that I was a theater advocate, right? That I was a teaching artist and an artist who was also an advocate. That was something that Karen Kaufman taught me right off the bat. She was like, wow, man, all of your art has advocacy in it. And I had known that, right? But I didn't consciously bring it into my being. And being with all those teachers that summer doing that graduate course, I was like one of the only teaching artists that was in there that didn't have a full-time job as a regular classroom teacher. I felt so invigorated by what they were doing and so excited, right? And my own I was never going to have children. I wasn't sure if I liked them or not. And then I married this guy that had a really cute kid that I liked. And I thought, well, that's just like a one-off. And then, you know, the more I was around them, the more I was like, God, these guys are, this is way more fun than like cranky 50-year-olds. These guys really know how to play and get into it. And I just found that connecting with kids helped me to connect again with what the purpose is, right? The simplicity of how do we care for each other? How do we shape a human being? And you need as much shaping as a first grader as you do as a 44-year-old in many ways. You need just as much time to be messy and strange and to find your responsibility and your purpose. It's just easier because we practiced it more often by the time we're in our 40s. But those little guys, they need guidance. And every time that little piece of as we guide our kids, we find the answers for ourselves over and over again. And I love that piece, right? That as I transmit it, we're finding it together over and over. And how cool is that?
It's great.
I love that.
Love it.
Okay, we just have one more question for you. what do you think, what's Missoula missing in the art and culture scene?
Ooh. Well, I mean, I have to tell you quite honestly.
One thing. You know, and this is it, sort of like just teasing something apart and trying to pick it apart. No. It's just what, you know, I think about it often as traveling, going somewhere else, and being like, wow, you know, of all the things, we actually don't do that.
Yeah, that's
why don't we do that? Could we do that? Should we do
that? I think for years, a lot of my colleagues have been fighting to try to figure out how to get more theater in the public schools. Right now we have it prolifically in the high schools, right? But not even in an equitable way in each high school, right? We still have a high school that one of the theater teachers still has to teach, you know, English and isn't just dedicated to that. And so I think Spark's idea to bring in integrated arts and be able to expose children to that has been really brilliant. But I wish particularly we could have theater as an elective in the middle schools. I think that would change the behavioral culture in the middle schools. And I think right now there is some struggle, especially after some of the things that the kids have been challenged with through COVID and how they had to survive that. It's a different feeling in the public schools than it was 5-10 years ago, right? And I think that the middle school teachers are working really hard, and I think they're exhausted. And I think that a lot of people are looking for new solutions, and how do we, in these large gathering spaces, in one of the most difficult times in your life, middle school, right? I was like stealing cars and, you know, just like hiding in bathrooms, doing all sorts of wrong things.
I was just going to ballet class.
Of course you were.
Yeah. Well, but Teresa, I was being bad on the outside, but
my comedy partner was like still playing with dolls, right? We all had a different road through there, right? I was just like sneaking out of the house.
You make me want to go back to middle school and be a little worse.
I was introduced to theater in middle school, especially. Like you said, it's such a hard time.
Yeah.
It didn't even like cross my mind that I could do something like that. Yeah. And it wasn't until I got into my late 20s that I was like, oh, I like doing this. I think I'm pretty good at this, you know? Yeah. So to have that at an early age could be life-changing for
sure.
So.
Yeah, and that idea about theater in general, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm not just saying just performing on stage. I'm talking about the collaboration of design, of being a techie, of getting to talk about playwriting. How do we tell stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we work in a collaboration to create something that other people get to experience that impacts them, right? So to give responsibility to that age, to those middle school kids, the 6th through 8th graders particularly, the 5th through 8th graders, I think that it gives them a real care for their whole community and makes them think about audience like, oh, if a kindergartner was seeing this, what would they need to see?
Right.
If I could actually get the ear of an adult to give them a message, what would it be that I would be saying, right? And during that entire process, they are solidifying the good things about their identity, and they're really finding a safe place, right? We talk a lot in theater about how to create safe places for each other so that we can really bring out who we are and who we're going to be. And that's what you're doing in middle school. You're figuring out exactly who it is that I like being, right? And what parts of myself am I letting go? And what could be better than theater to do that? Because, I mean, there's a weird little line there, and those middle schoolers are always trying to find us right between like smart ass and smart aleck.
Oh, totally.
Right? It's a hard line to find, and you kind of have to try it out. That's why these poor parents are like, unfortunately, like they're the ones that are the audience for the bad stand up their kids are doing on the day. So they should work it out just, you know, with us.
Yeah.
Rosie, I want to thank you for being here as our inaugural guest of the Missoula Mosaic.
I had no idea.
Yeah, you're the first
inaugural.
One. You're the first one. I know. When we were thinking about it, like, who, of course, would we ask? Of course we would talk to Rosie first.
Oh, my gosh. And that is not against any of the other. We love all the other artists.
You're all cool.
You are all
we're coming to talk
today.
To you, too. We're coming to talk to you, too.
We're coming for you. Yes.
Yes, a band of theater and dancer and visual artist.
Yeah. All I can say is I would have loved to have you as my theater teacher in middle school. It would have been life-changing. So keep doing the great work you're doing.
Yeah. I love working
Thank
with you,
you
too, Nathan.
Aww. Yeah.
Arts Missoula asks the hard questions. This or that. Things you're dying to know. So I'm going to ask this or that questions. We're going to set a timer for 60 seconds, and you answer as many as you can in that time.
And the world is dying to know.
Yes, the world is.
Okay, great.
Are you ready?
All
right.
I am.
First one that pops into your mind.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Speak every language fluently or talk to animals?
Talk to animals.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Root or root?
Root.
Creek or crick?
Crick.
Cement or cement?
What?
That's what
Only
I
when we're in the sea.
Introvert or extrovert?
Ooh, that's not an either or. That's
I
a
know,
both.
Right? Yeah, that is kind of both.
Both.
Dress made of recycled materials or edible clothing?
Recycled materials.
Fly on a magic carpet or own a talking flying broomstick?
Broomstick.
Beach vacation or mountain retreat?
Mountain retreat.
Wear a chicken suit every day or be followed by circus music wherever you go?
I think both.
You would prefer both?
Yes, yeah. I would. I think it's happening now. Do you hear that?
I do.
Okay, great.
Roller coaster or merry-go-round?
Merry-go-round.
Whoa, merry-go-round. Documentary or fiction? Oh, time's up. Oh, sorry.
Thank God.
Wow, good job. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All I could think was like Bad Religions, Stranger Than Fiction.
14. You answered 14.
Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
Thank you for listening to Missoula Mosaic, where we meet some of the brilliant minds behind Missoula's art scene. Until then, keep your creativity alive and remember, every stroke, every note, every performance, they all contribute to the canvas of Missoula's cultural identity.